Sermon title is today is The True Lion. Jesus says in Matthew 24 and verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Proverbs 30 and verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. Last week we proved that the historical accuracy of the Word of God. And we're going to go back to that scripture today. So I'd like for you to go back with me to 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. In fact, we'll probably go back to it again next week. But 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. Beautiful, beautiful passage of scripture. I think it's one that we should all know to turn to share with people that do not believe that the Word of God, do not believe the truth of the scriptures. And it just proves it over and abundantly that the Word of God is true, historically accurate. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if we start with reading from verse 1, it says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and which you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen by Cephas, and then by the 12, and that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to this present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, and then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. So no matter how bad and no matter how hard that the world strives to strike Jesus Christ from the record of history, they cannot do it. You remember that the scripture reads in the book of Acts that he was with them 40 days after his resurrection and taught the disciples and prepared them for when they would also be taking over the working of the church. But if we look at verse 3 again, it says, for I delivered to you first of all that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. It proves the complete accuracy of the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5 and 8, God is who he says he is. God will do what he says he will do. God is not dead. He is surely alive. He's roaring on the inside, and he's roaring like a lion. Is he roaring in your life? The leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit to teach, to guide, to direct. You should feel his presence in your life. Jesus is who he says he is. He will do what he says he will do. He is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6 says. In John 1:1, he is the living word of God. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And what does this mean? We start out in Genesis today, so I want you to go back with me to the book of Genesis and chapter 49. Genesis and chapter 49. In Genesis chapter 49, he says in verse 1, Genesis chapter 49, verse 1, and Jacob called his sons and said, gather together that I may tell what shall befall you in the last days. Gather together and hear, you sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel, your father. So Jacob is calling his sons together to bless them. And we go to verse 9, and verse 9 it says this, Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up, and he bows down, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion, who shall rouse him? A special blessing upon Judah, the tribe of Judah, a lion's whelp. This is only the beginning. The tribe lion will come, the true lion would come through this lineage of Judah. The true lion of the tribe of Judah will be none other than Jesus Christ himself. This is prophecy concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus. And this is prophecy concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus at his second coming. That today he came as our Savior, but someday he will stand back. He will come as our judge. It will be none other than Christ. In verse 10 it says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. The scepter, the symbol of authority. and the rule of the law. In verse 10 in the NLT, it reads this way: the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from his descendants, until the coming of the one whom it belongs, the one whom the nations will honor, and his name is Jesus. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It says that in Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. Bow down to the true lion of the tribe of Judah. King David was of the tribe of Judah. It was known as the kingly tribe. A lion symbolizes power, fierceness, and majesty. Lions are the king of beasts. Now turn with me to John chapter 1, verse 29. John chapter 1 and verse 29. In John chapter 1 and verse 29, and listen to the words. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This is amazing. The lion triumphed. How? By becoming a lamb. Christ was victorious by being a suffering servant, by submitting to death. You can't make this story up. Jesus Christ was victorious over death by giving his life. Hallelujah, he is the lamb for sinners slain. Truly, he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Now we're going to fast forward. Let's go to the book of Revelations chapter 1. Revelations in chapter 1. Revelations in chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 1, we read verse 1. What is the meaning of the book of Revelations? It's a revealing of Jesus Christ as King of kings and Lord of lords. A king and king, a Lord of lords that this world has never seen. The only Jesus that we know today is a Jesus that was born as a babe in swaddling clothes. The only Jesus we know today is the Jesus that gave his life on Calvary for each and every one of us today. Today he is our Savior, but someday he will stand as the world's judge. This picture of the revealing of the revelation of Jesus Christ is the revealing of Jesus Christ as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. It says in verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by an angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God, to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. And he says in verse 3, blessed is he or her who reads, and those that hear the words of this prophecy, keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Now turn with me to Revelation chapter 4. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, Revelation 4 and verse 1, it says, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one set on the throne. I will show you what must take place after this. The church, the bride of Christ, from this point on, is no longer mentioned in the Bible, in the book of Revelations, on earth. The church has been caught away at this point in time. So we go to Revelation chapter 5. So after chapter 4, you never hear the church on earth talked about anymore. It's the church, the bride of Christ, is then in heaven with our Lord and with our Savior. When we go to chapter 5 and verse 1, and I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back sealed with seven seals. And then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain. Hallelujah. Having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the heaven, earth, and he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp, golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." The scroll that it talks about in verse 1, it is containing the revelation is what to take place on this earth. It's future judgment that will be taking place. In verse 2 through 4, we see that John is weeping because there is no one that can open the scroll. But in verse 5, we see that there is one that will be able to. But one of the elders said to me in verse 5, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. But there is one who can, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the one who is victorious over death by suffering as a lamb." In verse 6 it says, "And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne of the living four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain." That lamb that had been slain, the lamb that still bore the marks of crucifixion. He is a lion that could open the scroll. You remember Thomas, the doubting Thomas? He says, "Only if I can reach out and touch him, and I know that that's him, will I believe that Jesus Christ has resurrected." He saw the lamb that had been slain for all of the world. He saw the scars that were on his hands and in his side. The lamb that had been slain, the lamb that still bore the marks of the crucifixion, he is the lion that can open the scroll. The verse 8 we see in verse 8, it says, "Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." The golden bowls of incense, the prayers of the saints, those praying, "Come, Lord Jesus, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," that heaven rules, is sent up before our Lord and our God. Yes, Lord, you rule. Now turn with me to 1 Peter in chapter 5. 1 Peter in chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5, we go to verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5. And verse 6, it says, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." In verse 8, never confuse this lion with the true lion of the tribe of Judah. This lion that is talked about in 1 Peter is a lion wannabe. He mimics the true lion, but all he can do is roar. It shows like an older lion that's been kicked out of the pride. He wants back in, but he can't get back in. He wants his place of honor within the pride, but he can't get his place back within the pride. So all he does is he stands on the outside of the pride and he just roars. But the true lion is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. His name is Jesus. That is the roaring within his life, with his life in the presence of him in your life. If you turn with me to Daniel chapter 6, let's go back to the book of Daniel. We'll go back to the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 6. And if you go back to Daniel chapter 6, we don't have time to read the whole thing, which is a beautiful story. But if you go to Daniel chapter 6 and you go to verse 20, It's about Daniel's being thrown in the lion's den. In verse 20, he says, when he had come to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? And then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. Also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. In other words, hey, you lion wannabe, you need to shut your mouth. By the authority given to me through the true lion of the tribe of Judah, who reigns supreme in my life, how do I know that? Because his spirit bears witness with my spirit. Temptation comes in your life and in my life. We need to tell it to shut its mouth, because we have authority over that. We've talked a lot in the last few months about the authority of the believer, and I don't know if it's really sinking in yet or not. That because of your relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ, through Christ you have answered prayer. Through Christ, we fulfill the Great Commission. Through Christ, we lay hands on the sick and they recover. Through Christ, we cast out demons. We have authority over the powers of darkness, that we can say to Satan and the powers of darkness, you need to shut your mouth. The fiery darts of the wicked one, you need to shut your mouth. Negative thought attacks come at me, Satan, you need to shut your mouth. By the authority of Christ, through the Spirit of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are pronounced a child of God. Saints, start walking in that authority that the Lord has blessed you with. By His Spirit, you have been pronounced a child of God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. It's our last verse today. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, a verse you're all very familiar with. In Romans chapter 8, we go to verse 14. Romans 8, verse 14. Verse 14 says this, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? They are sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. What is that spirit bearing witness with your spirit? The spirit of the lion of the tribe of Judah that is residing in your life because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Stand up to the authority that you have in Jesus. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we also may be glorified together. So I said earlier, by the authority of Christ, through the Spirit of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are pronounced a child of God. You become a part of the body of Christ. You're immersed in the body of Christ. It almost sounds like a wedding announcement, doesn't it? I pronounce you. You are pronounced by the Spirit of the living God to belong to your Heavenly Father because of you accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. By the authority of Christ, through the Spirit of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are pronounced this day and this day forth that you are a child of God. Saint, we need to start walking in that authority. By His Spirit, you have been pronounced a child of God. We take authority over the powers of darkness. It does not take authority over us. We take authority over temptation. It does not take authority over us. The fiery darts of the wicked one do not take authority over us. We take authority over that. We take authority over sickness. We take authority over those that need to be delivered by the hand of God and by the power of God through the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Is He waiting today to make that pronouncement in your own life? I think about those people that were at the service yesterday. And I don't know all those people, of course. But how many of them walked in there not knowing Jesus? We offered them the opportunity before we left that place to receive Jesus. But how many left not knowing Jesus? That Jesus gave, that Father gave His only begotten Son so we could have life. He's waiting to make that pronouncement over their lives. That they're not born by, I shared this yesterday, you're not born by accident. You're born with a purpose. You're born with a plan for each and every one of us. That no one is put on this earth by accident. That's why life is so precious to the believer. Because it is God ordained, it is God given, it is God breathed into that young person's life. That's why it's so important to us. And God is waiting to make that pronouncement. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I now pronounce you a part of the body of Christ as a child of the Most High God. And the Lion of the tribe of Judah now resides in your life forevermore. Let us pray. Father, we come before You today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we would ask in only a way that You can, Father, that Your Holy Spirit would sweep over this place and touch every life, touch every heart. Father, we rejoice in this day that You have given us. And this is a day that You have given us to come out and to praise You and to worship You. And these people that are faithful in coming out, I pray that, Father, You would open the windows of heaven. You would pour out Your blessings upon each and every one of their lives. I pray that, Father, as we leave this place, we would not leave this word behind. We would not leave the presence of Your Holy Spirit behind. Father, we would walk in that faith, walk in that trust, walk in that authority the rest of this week. And that, Father, You would bless us over and abundantly, Father. And I ask it all today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. You are dismissed.